Today we're kicking off a brand new series looking at the promises of God. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at different promises that God gives us. And today we're going to be talking about this idea that God gives us rest. If you have a Bible, turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I read out of the New Living Translation, the NLT. If you don't have a Bible, you can grab one on your smartphone. Just go to your app store, download the YouVersion Bible app. It's one I recommend, and I read out of the NLT. I'm going to just be upfront with you, church. This message today, I struggled with it because it's kind of different. It's a little different in that when I got done with it, I'm like, God, I don't know. It's like too practical. And it's too practical. And so it's a little different, but God kind of, you know, he said, hey, I thought your whole thing was helping people find real faith for real life. So practical is not a bad thing. I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to go with it. But I feel like it's a little different of a message, but I think it's going to be something that's going to help a lot of you, especially if you're here, you're tired, you're burnt out, you're stressed out, and you're entering into the summer, and you just like, I need a break. I really think today is going to speak to you. So Matthew chapter 11, as we look at God's promise of rest, starting in verse 28, says this. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. That's some of you here in this place. You are weary and you are carrying heavy burdens. But Jesus said, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Let's pray as we open up God's word today. Father, thank you for bringing us here into your house to remind us of your goodness today, God, to remind us of your faithfulness. And so as we approach your word today, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us, especially, God, those that are here in this place that are really worn out, God, those that are here in this place that are carrying heavy burdens and are in desperate need of rest for their souls. Lord, we ask today that you would speak to us, God, by the power of your word, you would spark some things inside of us, God, that we could find rest for our souls today. So Jesus, speak to our heart and change our life. In Jesus' name we pray. In 11 o'clock Lifehouse, if you're ready to hear from God today, can you give me a big amen before you're seated? Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Give me an amen online too if you're watching. Let me know that you're there today. Well, I just want to be one of the first to officially wish you happy beginning of summer. And we are excited for the summer. We certainly have had summer heat over these last couple of days. I did a wedding the other day, and it was an outdoor wedding. Now, when I do a wedding, if you ever, you know, have someone come to me for a wedding, just know up front, I don't do long weddings, okay? I don't believe they are there to hear me. That's not the time for me to preach them to Jesus. You know, it's like my rule of thumb for a wedding, less of the pastor, more of the bride and groom. So I do pretty short weddings. But I want to tell you, even yesterday, my little ceremony was too long because we were all sweating like pigs in a suit, you know, in that summer heat. The bride was looking at me like, wrap it up, pastor. My makeup is sweating off. You will not ruin my pictures. And I'm like, all right, let's pray. You know, you do. All right, you're good. You know, and so it was hot yesterday, and we're getting ready to enter into summer. And one of the things that summer brings, of course, is travel. People go on vacation. People go out of town. And I read that there is pent up demand for travel because last year during the pandemic, we all staycationed. Regardless of whether, you know, you're rich or not or can afford, we were all home for vacation last year. Last year, what vacation was, let's pitch a tent in the backyard, you know, let's take a vacation to the refrigerator. You know, it's like that was your vacation last year. It's like, I've got an oceanside view called my bathtub. You know, it's like that was your vacation last year. And so because of that, your travel demand is pent up, and they're actually predicting that travel's going to be huge this summer. And you can see that reflected in airline ticket prices. I bought airline tickets a few months ago to fly down somewhere, and they were dirt cheap. It's like they were giving them away. You know, you could fly for like a stick of gum. You know, just a few months ago, the airlines were like, please give us something, keep us in business. And now airline tickets, you know, have gone up in price and are pretty expensive. And so they're envisioning that travel is really going to be a big thing this year. Now, some of you may have already had vacation plans. You may have already had your vacation. You may not be going anywhere, but how many of you have been on a vacation and you have come back from that vacation exhausted? You know what I'm talking about? Like, you have come back from that vacation and you have said, oh, I need a vacation from my vacation. You know what I'm talking about? Especially if you have young kids, you know that vacation is no picnic. You know you are going to be on 24/7 because those kids are in that same hotel room with you, and it's like it's throwing off the whole vibe of the vacation. Or even if you had a great vacation, you come back and instead of being recharged, instead of being rejuvenated to go back into the office, to go back to work, to re-engage with your family, you come back from vacation and even though you had some time off, you feel like, I just don't feel like I rested at all. I still feel exhausted. I still feel tired. I still feel worn out. And I think the thing is that we fundamentally have forgotten the importance of rest and how to rest. Because we're starting off this new series, you know, the promises of God. And one of the promises that God gives us, we just read it in the scripture, is that I will give you rest, that I will give you rest. And here's the deal. Sometimes we can minimize rest. We can think it's not that important. You can be sitting there right now thinking, Pastor, you're gonna talk to me for like 30 minutes about rest? I am, because it's a big deal to God. You resting is really important to God. In fact, let me illustrate that this way. There's probably, how many of you after service today, you are planning on going and killing somebody? Anybody here? Don't really raise your hand. Don't really raise your hand. You may be like, well, that person, you know, that guy cut me off earlier. I might try to shack him. No, don't do it. You know, how many of you here, you know, no one here, you're not planning after service today on going and committing adultery. You're not planning on going and, you know, stealing something, or you're not planning on going and lying. But how many of you here, you have a regular plan to take a whole day and rest? Because it's on the same list. It's on God's top 10 list, 10 commandments. Honor the Sabbath as a day of rest and keep it holy. It's really important to God. In fact, when God, if you go back all the way to the beginning of the book, all the way to Genesis, and God's creating this, and it was good, and God's making everything that we see, and, you know, the birds, and, you know, I don't know why he made bugs, but he made bugs, you know, and then it's like, stupid bug, you know, I'm out walking the dog and eating bugs, so it's like, God, why'd you make bugs? I don't know, but he made them. He made all this stuff, right? And then on the seventh day, it says God rested. Let me ask you this, did God need to rest? No. God doesn't get tired. God's not like me after I do the dishes and I'm like, whew, I'm worn out. I need to lay down for 2 hours. I just did the dishes. I'm done, guys. You just go on without me. I'm pooped. You know, God did not need to rest. He has unlimited strength. He has unlimited endurance. Nothing can make God tired. And yet God rested on the seventh day. Why did he do that for him? No, he did that for us, to set an example for us, to show us the importance of rest in our life. Rest is a really big deal. Now, some of you, I imagine you're sitting in the seat today and you're like, well, I'm good at resting, Pastor. I may not do a whole lot well. I can rest with the best of them, Pastor. You know, it's like, I'm resting right now. I'm not even listening to you. I'm resting right now, Pastor. I'm so good at it. And so here's the deal. I think there's a big difference between rest and relaxation. Because a lot of us, we're good at relaxing. And relaxing is just doing nothing, right? We're good at just, I'm going to veg out. I'm going to sit on the couch. I've got my Doritos. I've got my shows. You know, I'm watching Netflix, and it's popping up that thing, are you still there? And I'm like, yes, I'm still here, Netflix. Don't judge me. This is my life. I'm living it how I want. Continue. I need more shows. You know, we're good at sitting down and opening up our phone and scrolling, and 10, 20, 30 minutes later, we're still scrolling. You know, we're good at relaxing. We're good at checking out. We're good at doing that. But I don't think that's really rest. And I don't think that's what God's design of rest is. Rest and relaxation are different things. Rest is not just doing nothing. That's not what rest is, because there's been times in your life and my life where we've done nothing, but we haven't really rested that much. We haven't felt refreshed. We haven't felt renewed. We haven't felt recharged. We may have done a little bit of nothing, but it hasn't rejuvenated our soul. See, here's the deal. God's plan for your life and my life involves a rhythm of regular rest. God's plan for your life and my life involves a rhythm of regular rest. Not just relaxing, not just vegging out, but resting in Him. Now, some of you would say, okay, I hear you. I mean, I see where you're going with this, but Pastor, you don't know my schedule. You don't know how busy I am. It would be nice, you know, you only work one day a week, Pastor, so you know, you can get up and you can talk about this, but the rest of us here in the real world, I'm too busy to rest. There's no way I will be able to rest. If I don't get it done, it's not going to get done. If I'm not burning the candle at both ends, then my family's not going to get provided for. And so for you to say that I need rest, it sounds really good, but there's no way that I can do it. I will rest when I'm dead. Some of you, you're really performance driven, and it is just always go, go, go for you. You're trying to achieve the next thing. You're trying to find that next milestone. You're trying to check off the next box on your list, and it is just go, go, go. But can I tell you this morning that you were not designed to run at that pace? You were not designed to run at that pace forever. You can sustain it for a little bit, but if you don't incorporate that rhythm of rest that we're going to talk about today, eventually what's going to happen in your life is you are going to crash, and you are going to burn. You're going to burn out. And you're going to burn up. And everyone in your life is going to feel the effects of it. Your family, your friends, your work, your relationship with God, they are going to feel the effects of it because you did not take time to rest and you did not learn how to incorporate rest into your life. Rest is a really big deal to God. And some of you here in this place, maybe you've lost the passion. And you've lost the joy for things in your life that should bring joy into your life. There's things that you used to love to do and you don't have time for them anymore. You don't have the passion to go to work. You don't have the passion and the energy and the joy to re-engage with your family. And the reason why that is because you're not taking time to rest. And so the idea that I want us to work with today and wrestle with today is a simple one, but this is the idea. If you remember nothing else, I want you to remember this today. God wants you to experience rest that leads to restoration. God wants you to experience rest that leads to restoration. Because even though we're all good at relaxing, oftentimes when we relax, it doesn't restore us. God wants you to be restored when you rest in Him. God wants you to find new life and new energy and new purpose when you rest. God wants your batteries to be recharged when you rest. And some of you have been running on E for way too long. And I hope today you're going to gain some principles that are going to help you learn how to rest so that you can tackle the things that God has called you to tackle in your life, so that you can be there for your family, so that you can be fully engaged at work, so you can, when you go back to school, that you're ready to go, so that you can be rested and recharged, so that you can tackle the things that God wants to tackle in your life. So we're going to get into this today. I'm going to close with some really practical stuff as we get into the Word of God today. If you're still with me, can you just give me another amen? Amen. All right. I've lost half of you by the sound of it, but that's all right. We'll keep going. Matthew 11:28 says this, Then Jesus said, come to me. Everyone say, come to me. All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. The first thing I want us to understand about rest today is this, is I find rest when I come to Jesus. I find rest when I come to Jesus. So in the Surratt household, we have been making little attempts at being healthier. And my wife is at the parent meeting for fifth graders going into sixth grade, so I can talk a little more freely than I can if she were in the room right now. And so my wife's idea was that we would be a little healthier. And in doing so, we are cutting back and trying to eliminate soda. And I don't know in Ohio if it's called soda or pop or if everything's Coke in here. I'm going to call it soda for the sake of my oakiness. So hopefully I'm speaking the same language. You know, dark carbonated beverages, right? I don't know. Do I have any soda drinkers in the house here? Anybody, you love soda? Like four of you? Wow, this is like the healthiest church in America. This is incredible. Like you guys are inspiring me to live a life of health. First service, there's like three people that raised their hands like, no, pastor, we only drink water. Water's in the Bible. We drink water. That's it. You know, no soda for us. I'm like, okay, good for you. Surratts, we like soda. And so my wife in particular is a big Diet Coke drinker. Now, some of you, you're like, yeah. Some of you are like, you just kind of threw up in your mouth a little bit when I talked about Diet Coke. At first, I was not on board with Diet Coke, by the way. I'm like, I don't know what this is, but this is an abomination unto the Lord, okay? If you want a Coke, drink the real thing. Red can, as God intended it. Drink a Coke. Deal with the sugar. Deal with the diabetes. Come on. Man up, honey. Drink a Coke. But over time, because I'm a good husband, I learned to like Diet Coke. Because I want good things in my marriage. So I'm like, honey, we'll buy Diet Coke. And I learned to like Diet Coke. And here's the thing that I've realized about soda, is that the times when you are really thirsty, when you're just, you know, you come back in from mowing the lawn or whatever, you're thirsty, if you drink a soda, it'll satisfy your thirst for a little bit. But then you end up thirstier than you were when you began. You know what I'm talking about. You drink that soda, you're like, oh, so good. But 5 minutes later, it's like, I'm so thirsty. And the soda only satisfies your thirst for a little bit, but ends up making you thirstier. And I wonder in our lives how many times when our soul is tired and in need of rest, we run to things that we think are going to satisfy our soul, that we think are going to give our souls rest. Man, if I could just get to the TV, oh, I'll get some rest. If I can just get some time with my phone, then I'll have some rest. If I could just veg out on Facebook for a little bit, then I'll have some rest. If I could just play that game where I have to get all the candy, you know, to organize and do that. If I could just do that for a little bit, then I'll have some rest. You run to that thing and you feel like, oh, it's recharging me. Oh, it's giving me what I need. But I think in the end, what happens is those things make us thirstier. They make us more tired than we were even to begin with. Because I don't, maybe I'm the only one here where I've said, I just need to veg out. I just need to have some time. And by the time I was doing that, I was more out of it. I was more tired. I wasn't ready to re-engage with my family. My family was more of an annoyance to me. Don't sit there and look at me like your kids never annoy you. Come on, church. You're not that holy. Come on. You know, it's like I need to break, and it's like, I do that, and it's like I'm not more ready to get back into life. I want to retreat from life even further. I think it's going to make me less thirsty, but it ends up making me thirstier. I think it's going to make me less tired, but it ends up making me more tired. When our soul is thirsty, when our soul is tired, when we are worn out, we have to understand one thing. We have to understand that Jesus and Jesus alone is the source of rest for our soul. That Jesus is the source of rest for our soul. So here's the deal, church. Vacations are great. Absolutely amazing. Time off of work is great. You're getting ready to go on that camping trip. That is great. You're getting ready to take that fishing trip. That is amazing. But you have to understand that true rest cannot be found outside of Jesus. That Jesus is the only thing that can give you true rest. That's why he says, come to me if you're weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. He doesn't say go to your vacation. He doesn't say go to your phone. He said, come to me and I will give you rest. We have to learn how to come to Christ on a regular basis in order for us to experience rest for our souls. Because here's what I know, and here's what I've seen time and time again. If we're not coming to Christ regularly, we are going to burn out eventually. If you're not coming to Christ regularly in your life, coming to him in times of worship, in times of prayer, in times of seeking his word, if you're not learning how to come to Christ regularly, you are going to burn out eventually, because he is the only thing that can truly provide rest for your soul. We have to come to him. And so I want to get up in your business a little bit. If you are just worn out in your life right now, you are worn out body, mind, soul, and spirit. You're just like, Pastor, I'm tired, I'm worn out, I'm weary, I'm burnt out, everything is going wrong, and I just feel weary in my soul. I want to ask you in love this morning, how is your time with the Lord? Are you spending regular time with him? Are you spending time in the Word? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you spending time in worship? Or are you trying to find rest in other things that may feel good for a moment, but don't really provide the rest for our souls that God wants us to have, rest that leads to restoration? Spend that time with him. We have to spend the regular time with him, because we find rest when we come to Jesus. Matthew 11, 29, moving on, says this, take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So Jesus tells us we have to take his yoke upon him. The second thing about rest I want us to see today is this, is I find rest when I exchange my burdens for his burdens, when I exchange my burdens for his burdens. So I've been, you know, on Facebook looking around, and it's been pretty cool to see some people in my life and here in this church, you are working hard on getting your summer bod up and running. You know, you have been up in the gym, you've been running, you've been eating right, you've been shedding those pounds, and that is an inspiration, because I'm packing on pounds for summer like I'm getting ready to hibernate. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, you know, some of us are like, I'm not doing that. I'm out on that. I don't want to sweat in the summer and accidentally lose weight, so I need to put on a little extra so that way I don't have to buy new pants. You know, that's how you're rolling for the summer. But some of you, man, you're rocking it. You are making it happen with your workouts, and so you're like, I'm going to shed some weight for the summer. And you know, when we would go through times of you know, weight loss and whatnot, it's just, it puts things in perspective. Like, we used to have cats, okay? And you know, if you have cats, you have to buy cat litter. The cat litter we would buy would come in 15-pound boxes. And so, you know, if you lose 30 pounds, it's like you're carrying around two boxes of 15-pound cat litter in each hand, just walking around with this cat litter. And then people, when they lose 30 pounds, it's like, you know, they set that litter down. It's like, no wonder why they feel so good, right? No wonder why they feel, oh man, I just feel great. I feel great about life. Why? Because they're not carrying around this cat litter anymore. And I think some of you here today, in your soul, you're carrying around boxes of cat litter. You're carrying around burdens that God never intended for you, and God does not want you to be carrying around. For some of you, you're carrying around these heavy burdens of worry. What's going to happen? What's going on? You know, what's happening with the world? What does the news say today? And your whole life rises and falls on what you read on the news or what you read in social media. You're just so consumed with worry and just carrying around these boxes of cat litter of worry or fear. It's like, you know, what's the economy doing? And what's, you know, who's in office? And, you know, and just carrying around these boxes of fear. And some of you are carrying around boxes of performance, this burden of performance. Like, I got to be perfect or no one's going to like me. If I don't have it all together, then everything's going to fall apart and it's all up to me. And if I don't do it right, and I'll let everyone down and everyone will see me for who I really am, and I can't have that. So you're carrying around these boxes, this burden of performance and perfectionism For others of you, maybe today you're carrying around this burden, these boxes of hidden sin and shame in your life. And if anyone knew who you really were behind closed doors, anyone knew what was really going on in your head, anyone knew what you were really struggling with, you feel like you'd lose everybody in your life. And so because of that, you're carrying around these boxes and this burden of this fear of being found out and this fear of what's going on when no one else is around. You're carrying around these burdens, and no wonder why you're so tired. No wonder why you just feel like, I just don't have any energy. I just don't have any motivation. I don't understand how I can face the day. Well, how could you? You're carrying around boxes of cat litter that God didn't want you to carry. And Jesus said, come to me with your heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Because here's what I know. You carry around those burdens too long. Carrying those burdens, it's going to burn you out. Carrying those burdens is burning you out. You just don't have any energy, you don't have any motivation, you don't have just because you're carrying around these burdens. And so Jesus wants to exchange your burden for his burden. Jesus wants to exchange your burden for his burden. Now, some of you, when I say that, you're like, whoa, time out, Pastor, time out. Jesus wants to give me a burden? Like, that doesn't sound right. It's like, I thought following Jesus meant I would have no burdens. I want a burden-free life. Where do I sign up for that? You know, who do I have to follow to get the burden-free life? I want no burdens. I want no worries. Look, I want vacation. It took us in the sand, toes in the water, you know, just like, that's the life for me, burden-free. I don't want any burdens in my life. What do you mean Jesus wants to give me a burden I don't understand that? Well, Jesus is very careful about the language that he uses here in this scripture. He said, take my yoke upon you. Now, what is a yoke? Yoke is not the other thing you do for the summer body. You know, some of you are like, men, you want to get yoked. You know, that's not what Jesus is talking about here. That joke was like for two of you in the room. The rest of you are like, I don't get it. It's okay. It's okay. We'll move on. You know, a yoke is for my fellow agricultural people in the house, my fellow farmers. I'm not that way at all. You know, and so you understand the yoke was something they'd put around the oxen, and it would link the oxen together. It was this bar with, you know, these like collars around it, basically, and it would tie the oxen together. And so Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you. So what does that mean? The yoke that you have right now, you are yoked to your burdens. You are yoked to your fear. You are yoked to your worry. You are yoked to your anxiety. And no wonder why you're so tired, because you're dragging all that dead weight around. And Jesus is saying, I want you to unyoke from that, and I want you to get yoked to me. I want you to hitch your trailer to me, because what happens when they yoke the oxen together? The stronger ox helps the weaker ox. That's good news for somebody today, because when you're yoked to Jesus, it's not about your strength anymore. It's not about your power and your ability to perform and produce. You can find rest in him when you take his yoke upon you, because all of a sudden you're now yoked to the stronger ox. Jesus' strength is now coming inside of you. Where you're weak, he's strong. Where you're not enough, he's more than enough. When you can't do it, he can do all things through you. It's not about you, it's about him. So some of you today, you need to let go of that yoke of your shame, of your sin, of your pride, of your greed, of your guilt. You need to let go of that yoke, and you need to get yoked to Jesus and experience his strength in your life, his rest in your life. Can we give God some praise for that this morning, church? Next verse, or actually same verse, next part of it, take my yoke upon you. And then he says, let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Last thing about rest I want us to see today is this, is I find rest when I submit to his wisdom. I find rest when I submit to his wisdom. I don't know if any of you guys have a contrary kid. You know, just a kid that's always, just like always contrary, always contradicting you. I have two of them. I won't tell you which two out of my three they are, but if you spend any time with them, you'll know which ones they are. And so Some of you, you may, if you don't have kids, you may have a brother or sister who's just always contradictory, maybe a friend, maybe a spouse. Don't nudge them right now. You know, I'm trying to protect your marriage. But you know what I mean? Just like anything that you tell them, they just push back against you. Anything you tell them, it's the opposite. You know, you could be like, the grass is green and the sky is blue. And that person would be like, well, sometimes the grass is brown and sometimes the sky is gray. So it's not always blue. It's not always like... You know, just is that feeling, right? Of like, why do you have to always go against what I tell you? And here's the deal. In order for us to find rest, we have to submit to God's wisdom and stop pushing back on what he wants us to do. We have to stop pushing back because it can be so easy to say, but God, what about? But God, I'm so busy. But God, and we just have all these excuses for why we don't take the time to rest in him. Or we can say, God, you want, Jesus said, let me teach you. God, there's wisdom that you want to give me. There's something that you want to teach me about how to rest. So instead of coming up with excuses why I can't, I'm going to submit to you and learn why I can and why I need to. And so when Jesus said, let me teach you, we have to come to him and say, God, in faith, I'm going to believe that I'm going to be more productive when I rest in you than I can be when I try to do it all by myself. I'm going to say that again because some of you need to hear that. You're going to be more productive when you learn how to rest in him than when you try to do it all by yourself. Because here's the deal. God, when we rest our time, when we give time to God to rest in him and to allow ourselves to be rejuvenated, I believe when we trust God with that, he's going to bless the rest. When you trust God with some, he blesses. It's just like the same thing that happens in our money and in our giving, that when we give to God, why do we give? Because when I give, I say, God, I'm trusting you with the first because I know you're going to bless the rest of it in my life. The same thing is happening with our time. When we trust him with a part of it, he blesses the rest of it. And submitting to his wisdom means, God, I believe that I'm more productive. I'm better off. My life is better. Everything's, I know how busy I am, God. I know how crazy I am, life is. So God, I'm gonna submit to your wisdom. I'm gonna stop pushing back against you. I'm gonna stop being contrary. And God, I'm gonna say, if you say it's better to rest, then I'm gonna rest. If you say it's better to live this way, God, even though it may not make sense in the here and now, I'm going to rest. So how does that work? I want to get real practical with you guys. I want to give you three things that are going to help you incorporate a rhythm of rest in your life, a rhythm of rest in your life. Three things. First thing is you need to rest daily. You need to rest daily. Now, when I talk about resting daily, once again, remember, it's different than relaxing. I'm not just talking about taking a daily nap, although you can better believe after Sunday morning services, that's exactly what this preacher does. I go home and I take a nap, or more accurately, the nap takes me on a Sunday afternoon. I don't have any choice. It's just, I'm sitting on the couch, next thing I know, it's an hour later. Bless God. You know, it's, but you need to rest daily. You need to incorporate a daily rhythm of rest in your life. What does that mean? That means you need to be spending time with God, resting in his presence every day. You need to be resting in his word, resting in prayer, resting in worship, that you're spending that time with him every day. Because your day, if you spend that time with him, once again, that time you spend, you give that time to him, he's gonna bless the rest. I would, if there's 16 waking hours in a day, I would rather have 1 hour or 30 minutes with Jesus and 15 hours and for 15 and a half hours, you know, with him blessing it than I would have 16 hours on my own. I would much rather have that time spent where I knew that I was spending that time. I was hearing from God. I was allowing God to speak into my life. I'm unloading my burdens on him, where I'm getting yoked to him. I want to, in your day, in your life, some of you are just yoked to your schedule. You're yoked to your calendar. You're yoked to your concerns. You're yoked to, I got to get kids to this practice, and I got to get here, and I got to get here, and it's just driving you nuts. How much better would your day be if you started to say, instead of getting yoked to that, I'm going to get yoked to Jesus first. I'm going to tie myself in with him first, and then everything else in my day is going to flow out of that you need to rest daily, spending time with him, spending time in the word, spending time in prayer. I would encourage you, if you can, to start your day resting in him, resting in his presence. You need to spend time resting daily. The next thing you need to do is you need to spend time resting weekly. You need to spend time resting weekly. So remember, 10 commandments, we already talked about it. One of the top 10, God says, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now, oftentimes we think when he talks about honoring the Sabbath, he means, hey, go to church. That's part of it, but if you look at the actual scripture, it says to honor the Sabbath day as a day of rest. God tells us to take a day and to rest. They say, well, that's crazy. There's no way I could do that. Remember, we have to submit to his wisdom on this. And God's saying, it's better for you to take a day and rest and allow me to work in the rest of your week than it is for you to try to get everything done all by yourself. And you're just go, 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 go. So I would encourage you, take a day every week and rest. No emails, no work, unplug. Maybe for some of you, you need to turn it off. You can turn the phone off, you can turn social media off, whatever that is draining you, and you need to plug in some things that are gonna give you life. That once a week, it's not that day that you rest a week, that's not just a day to do laundry and mow the lawn. It's a day where you can do things that give life to your soul, where you do things and spend time on things that you enjoy. Why God wants you to rest. God wants you to take that time and rest. You need to unplug from work. You need to be present with your kids. You need to be present with your family and take a day every week where you rest. For me, that's Friday. Friday is a day I don't come into the office. I don't open my laptop. I don't check my emails. Friday, I rest and I'm with my family. I do things that I enjoy doing. Is there a little bit of housework involved in that? Yeah, sure. But is there also time where I spend and, you know, I play guitar for 30 minutes or an hour? Yeah, absolutely. Why? Because I'm resting my soul. Because if I just keep going, 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 and giving and giving and giving, eventually I'm going to burn out and I'm going to burn up. And your life is no different than that. You need a day where you rest. And finally, you need to rest annually. You need to take a vacation. You need to get away from it all. I am probably the only pastor in any pulpit in America today that is encouraging you to take a vacation. But God wants you to rest. And once again, when you take that time, don't schedule that vacation in mind with this idea of we're just going to do all this stuff and we're just going to go, because you're going to come back just as tired as you left. You have to rest on your vacation. How do you rest? I debated about whether or not I would do this, because I think acronyms are kind of cheesy. And so I don't do them hardly ever. But as I was preparing this message, this one came into mind. And I wrestled with God, because I'm like, God, I don't want to do an acronym. I just think it's cheesy, okay? But here's the deal. How do you find rest for your soul? S-O-U-L. How do you find rest for your soul? You spend time with your Savior. You spend time with others in your life that you love and that love you and recharge your batteries. So S-O-U-L. You spend time doing things that you love. S-O-U-L. Savior, others, and things that you love. How do you find rest for your soul? When you go on vacation this summer, I want to encourage you, find rest for your soul. Spend time with your Savior. Spend time with others in your life that you love. Spend time doing things that you love to do. Don't go on vacation this summer and come back tired. Don't go on vacation this summer and come back more spent. You know, because what's going to happen is you're going to go on vacation and you're going to be less rested and you're going to be more broke. And that's not God's plan for you, okay? And that's not what I want for you either. Why? It's like, pastor's really preaching on how to take a vacation? Yes, because I think we lose sight of what we're supposed to do here. God wants you to rest. God does not want you to burn out. Because the closer to burnout you get, the more angry you're going to be, the more just irritable you're going to be, the less fun you're going to be around. But even more importantly than that, if you're not taking time to rest, God can't use you for the mission that he wants to unpack in your life. If you're not taking time to recharge, you're missing out on what God wants for you, because you'll be too tired, you'll be too worn out to see it, you'll be too tired, you'll be too worn out to do it and walk it out. God wants you to to rest this summer. God wants you to rest in your life, to incorporate that rhythm daily, weekly, annually. Are you taking time to rest? Are you trusting God with that time so he can bless the rest in your life? Remember, rest is different than relaxation. God doesn't just want you to relax and unplug. God wants you to experience rest that leads to restoration. He wants to restore things in your life. He wants to restore your energy. He wants to restore your joy. He wants to restore your purpose. He wants to restore your peace. He wants to restore your passion for him. He wants to restore your love for your family. He wants to restore your ability to go back to work. Some of you, tomorrow, you're gonna head back to work to a job you cannot stand. He wants to restore your patience. He wants to restore your calm in the middle of the storm. How does he do that? Through rest.